certain individuals didn't want to be frowned upon for going to counseling, but the reality is that you have to talk those things out and do better. If not, you're going to be bleeding on people that didn't even cut you.
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios. Today, we have Ethan Poetic, keynote speaker, author, mental health advocate, and entrepreneur. Ethan, welcome to episode 92 of the American Grown Podcast.
Thank you very much for having me on here. This is a wonderful opportunity to make a positive difference.
Yeah, you're from Lancaster, right?
Well, I drove from Lancaster. I'm originally from coastal Pennsylvania, and I talk about it in my autobiography, which is called The Inspirational Story of Ethan A. Poetic, Chronicles of Adversities, Education, Sports, Relationships, and Resiliency, where the big transformation of going from Coatesville to Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Okay, and we'll get into the book then in a little bit. But first off, I wanted to ask, do you remember how you heard about the American Grown Podcast?
I think either on social media or one of those podcast groups.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure. It's been a while.
I know it has, and I thank you for being patient with me. A lot of guests have filled out the form you filled out, and
yes.
They're like, man, when can I get on? And I'm like, I'm working through it. But now, you know, we're going to talk a lot about mental health. I'd love to know more about your early childhood. What was it like?
I was born on a hot Saturday, as I've been told before. I grew up in a single parent household of several kids who are my siblings. You know, same mom, different dads involved. You know, it's a situation where I was born into it and I didn't ask to. You know, as I told people before, you know, my dad had already had another family out there with another woman, and that other child was my brother. But those three people were already together. And then my dad, you know, decided to, just be more sexually active than usual. And next thing you know, we got two women pregnant at the same time. And I just tell people all the time that, you know, he denied that I was his. And it's this dilemma where, you know, my grandma told my mom. She was upset and just found it hard to believe. My aunt told my dad's mom, who's my other grandma, and one day my aunt came to my mom's house, checked out my body, hands, feet, ankles, you name it, and she said, yep, this is my nephew, this is my brother's son. And then my dad gets told, yeah, this is him, and he makes his drive from where he was living at with his mom. Eventually cross the bridge to make this left-hand turn towards my mom's house. Knocks on the door. She lets him in. They go upstairs. And all doubts were erased. And, you know, I understand people live in a time differently where men don't apologize. They like to do a read between the lines type of response of apologizing or just acknowledging, I can't believe I said that, and all this other stuff. Yeah, he did hold me. There was a time where he did hold me in his arms and had the bottle and all this other stuff. But unfortunately, you know, my mom didn't get that reassurance from him, and she didn't know that he was with somebody else. And by the time she found out, you know, time had already passed, like years, but my parents were never like serious together. As far as my other siblings, I see my oldest brother, he was born like a year after my mom graduated from high school. And then my two younger brothers just came back to back after me years later. But eventually, you know, my mom ended up becoming a single parent of four because things don't work out. And, you know, I got to keep it 100 on the website. You know, some people want to be a mom before they become a wife. Some people would rather be a father before they become a husband. And sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But ultimately, you know, I can tell other people that this is the background I came from, but it doesn't define who I am, because I was able to turn that situation into a positive one.
Yeah. And it's important too. Like you're keeping it real. You know, it's your journey. It's your life experience. Were you the oldest of your siblings?
I'm the second for both my parents.
Okay. What were your feelings like being raised by a single mom? Like you're close with her?
Yeah, it's just a situation where I was with her most of my life.
Yeah.
I do talk about a time period in my book where I wasn't living with her. Actually, there's two situations. The first situation, I talk about that in my next upcoming book in the future. That involves me finding out, you know, the whole truth and some documents, and finding out that thing involved the police, the ambulance, Children's News Services, made the newspaper, made radio and television. That's for my follow-up book. I recently had a conversation with my mom and told her I found the documents, and she didn't want to talk about it, but she was willing to talk about other stuff. I mean, we were close. It's just a situation where when a woman chooses a man over your own children, and you treat a person like that's your man child, eventually, you know, if that relationship with that man don't work out, you're back where you started from. And people don't understand that that creates a disadvantaged background. And you cannot live off child support. You can't live off of Section 8 because you're not creating equity. You're not becoming a homeowner. You have become stagnant in your growth.
Yeah, it's like you're already behind the eight ball. One person raising the kids, you know, it's hard for them to make a living and make money, you know. So it definitely could be challenging. And for you to, and we're going to get into everything. I mean, you have so many documents here, you know, letters and things from the governor, you know, and things from Millersville University. So we're going to get into all that.
Yeah. I just want to say that, you know.
Please, yeah.
Just keep it 100 on here. I mean, it's just a situation where I understand times were different back then compared to now. Women weren't making as much money unless you were educated or had a certification for an essential job. And then, you know, there was a point in my life where, you know, my dad would say he was coming to pick me up, but never did. I was told that by people, confirmed sources. And it just became a point where the guy who was living with us felt more of a father than me, than my own biological. You know, I remember this one time my dad asked me, "Who's your dad?" And I said, "This other guy my mom lives with." I was a kid. I didn't know any better. And yeah, that may have hurt his feelings, but it's the truth, because, you know, it's a situation where two people should have had a conversation with me as a child about the situation, no matter how old I am. But eventually you have to face the music or else it lingers on. Moving forward, you know, when a person doesn't address certain things, you end up having to deal with a child who becomes a teenager, and, you know, you can't do what you're doing. It's like this. You can't raise a child. No, you can't raise a teenager as though they're a toddler and a child anymore.
Yeah.
You have to adjust with the times.
Right, for sure.
And it's not the whole situation that you're telling somebody what to do. When a person's a teenager, there's laws that allow them to be more proactive about their life, have a say. And it's not always about doing what somebody else says. It's about doing what's in the best interest of the child.
Yeah.
Because we have to understand that people learn differently, whether it be doing, listening, seeing, Braille. And then there's also, you know, a combination of everything.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I'm a very visual learner. Like, I like to see things in front of me. Like, you can explain it verbally, but unless I see it, I don't comprehend it as well. Like, that's something that I've noticed. So, like, speaking of that, what were you into, like, in high school, middle school? What were, like, were you into sports? Were you into theater? What'd you do?
Let's see. When it comes to sports, I did football, basketball, track, wrestling. It was good doing the sports. I was also doing the video games.
What'd you like to play? Like, what?
NFL Madden.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
I played with the Eagles.
Go Birds.
I always adjust my depth chart.
Yeah.
I adjusted my the substitute packages. That way I could play to the best of my ability, run that no-huddle offense and score the touchdowns, cross the finish line.
Yeah.
Defense, I'm causing havoc. Special teams, I'm looking to get the best field position possible. At one time, I was a pro video gamer. I used to play in Harrisburg, Lancaster, Coatesville, and Philadelphia. And I talk about that journey in my book as well, where, you know, it was fun doing it. But eventually, you know, things changed when the economy crashed during the time when President Barack Obama became president. And life changed, and other things I did in high school, I found my path with poetry, which I talk about in the book, where, you know, I originally just wanted to be the person that wrote. And eventually I ended up speaking about it at the Puerto Rican Parade.
Okay.
Where I had this Puerto Rican Parade poem that I had created and copyrighted.
Nice,
and
yeah.
Outright. And then there's also just 10 different events. And, of course, the transition of moving. Just going through life's challenges.
So, after, like, high school, what was your goal? What did you want to do with your life? And then, you know, I definitely want to talk about March 19th, 2011, because that, I imagine, changed everything.
Well, when you're living in a disadvantaged background, and I'll just say another man did come into our lives, and it was a living hell.
Why?
That guy was on drugs, alcoholism. He was the first guy I ever saw in a hospital wrapped up like a mummy from a drug deal going wrong.
Wow. And this is when you're in Lancaster?
No, this was when we were in Coatesville.
Oh,
in
Coatesville, okay.
That's when I remember like it was yesterday. I talked about it in the book where I'm watching MTV. You know, I remember Mr. Carson was like, the younger Carson, he was in charge of the music video. Next, you know, watching everything seems good. Next thing my mom says, we gotta go.
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing. And I didn't understand. So we all of us get in the car, including my siblings. We're going down Philly. Then we enter into this parking lot. Then go inside the hospital, go through these double doors, go through these doors that slide open, another set that slides open. And then we're in the ER. Mind you, I'm just a kid.
Yeah, how old do you think you were, roughly?
I had to be fourth or fifth grade.
Okay, young.
And I'm like looking around, what's going on? And then next you know, we entered his room and there he is, wrapped up. He got IV in his vein. He was in a bad shape. Just from that gun shooting. He survived. He had a long recovery he had to go through.
Yeah.
But even when he did make his recovery, he still had that itch to do the drugs and alcohol because I didn't realize he was dealing with repressed memories of trauma, wounds, scars, and other things. You know, it's just mental health. You know, we have to turn our mental health problems into a mental health solution. And, you know, I understand times were different back then compared to now where certain individuals didn't want to be frowned upon for going to counseling. But the reality is that you have to talk those things out and do better. If not, you're going to be bleeding on people that didn't even cut you. It was just a situation where I learned this phrase recently.
Okay.
Like almost 2 months ago from this guy. Like, this guy was going on this drug and alcohol binge. Come back and we walk him back in, and my mom's nursing him back up to health. Yet, if I allegedly did something wrong in the house or my siblings, it's World War III and all this other stuff. And it's like, you just let this man come back in who's been gone for a month, two, maybe 3 months. And yeah, you're treating us like this. And it became a situation where I didn't understand it. And next, you know, the family members start finding out. Because in Coatesville, small town, city, if a cop's coming to your house, word is going to come spread around.
Yeah.
And people were being curious, why are the cops coming to the house? And that's when the domestic violence is happening. There's a couple times I had to call the cops.
Really? Because you saw it was your...
Well, yeah. It's a situation where my mom's telling me to call the cops. I remember one time in Lane, she told me to call the cops. Cop comes in, next thing you know, she's like, she's being tight-lipped about everything. And then the police leave. Next thing you know, she's breaking down, crying, and asking me for money. And I'm like, what are you doing? Just give me the money. Just give it. I'm like, no. I want to call your dad. You could call him, but he's not around.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like you can't, like, again, like I said, you can't treat a teenager like how they were as a baby, toddler, or child, because those threats don't work anymore. Because you can threaten somebody all you want, but until there's action behind it, it don't make much sense. And you're growing a person apart, pushing them away, and all this other stuff. So, as I was saying, you know, the drug thing got so bad to the point where this guy's in rehab, lose his job for like no call, no show. It went from having a job that was maybe 10-minute drive away, next you know, 30-minute drive away.
Oof, right.
Next you know, an hour drive away. Then even when we moved to Lancaster, it's like you're carrying excess baggage with you. And next you know, you got to travel almost an hour and a half away. I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? Well, why do I need to come with you for it? This is a ride way out there. Let's see, we're in Lancaster.
Yeah.
We're talking about driving out to like Camp Hill, Harrisburg, and other places, all because he burned so many bridges.
I see what you're saying.
Because yeah. when you do that type of stuff of no call, no shows, you're pretty much digging your own grave. And, you know, for him, he was like, it's like when you're a person who's addicted to stuff and you got someone enabling you, you're either one drug deal from death, one drug deal from a drug deal going wrong, and then you got kids involved. Oh, that's child abuse right there.
Yeah.
That's automatically unfit household. But too many times, I'm not saying all people, certain individuals, I'll say my mom, likes to enable the situation. And there's times I felt more peace being at somebody else's house than living with my own mom.
Wow. That sounds crazy to hear that. It sounds crazy, but that's like, I don't want to say the hell, but like, that's what you were going through, these hardships. Yeah. So what was this, just real quick, like, what was this man to you? Just like a stepfather or just like a man that was in the house?
Well, it started off with cohabitating. I remember like it was yesterday. I think I was in fourth grade.
Yeah.
First, we all get introduced to him. I thought nothing of it. Next, you know, he's living sleep. Being in the same bedroom with my mom, and I'm like, okay. And sure, he provided money, but it takes more than money to provide for a family. You know, you're providing peace, leadership.
Yeah.
And he wasn't providing those other things at the same time. My mom, you know, I'll say in general, like when a person has multiple kids with multiple men, a man looking on the outside looking in, like, why do you want to talk about this whole celibacy thing when you weren't being celibate with these men? Why should I live up to a standard that's much higher than those guys when you didn't do that before?
Yeah.
And, you know, the dating market decreases. Therefore, a person's dating value has significantly declined. You went from having stuff to choose from to very few. Because when it comes to dating, you know, a certain situation, whether it's a single mom or a single dad, if a person has more than one kid, you're not dating someone. You're pretty much taking care of a family. And you're not even going through the vetting process. And then by the time you find out the real version of somebody, you find out, oh, why this situation didn't really work besides someone trying to put things nicely. You're like, whoa, yeah. I should have thought twice. And from a man's perspective, is, you know, why should I take care of some kids financially? They're not mine, biologically or legally. It's one thing to be like a coach, a person who helps out with musicianship and other after school program where we're pouring in. But when you're talking about finance, I've seen situations in court where they want to make this guy who's not biologically that child pay child support. And some people don't know the law due to not knowing any better, but some people don't fight or some people don't find out to the last minute. And then when they do fight it, they realize, oh, this person forged my signature on that child's birth certificate. Yeah. So moving forward, you know, Back to the guys, just, you know, I'll just say, just to wrap it up in the sense of, yeah, my mom did marry the man, but she shouldn't have been married to him to begin with. Because I realized what my mom was doing when nursing him back up to health was this one line I learned, which is puppy syndrome.
Okay. I never heard of it.
Where you see a pup out on the street looking down and out. All of a sudden, you want to throw him a bone.
Okay.
All of a sudden, you want to set up two bowls, one for water, one for, the dog food.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they start looking better, start coming around. And next thing you know, you take them in.
Yeah.
Same thing with dating. Oh, you see somebody who's, oh, look at him. He's overdosed. Oh, I see him. Let me call the cops. See if they could do the Norkeen. Oh, you see him around looking all right. Let me see if he can take me out. Let me see if I could take him out for lunch. See if he needs something to eat. You know, it's one of those situations. Oh, like some women, not all, want to turn this man into their project. Turn this person to the vision that they want. But the problem is, that's not the vision that man has for himself.
Yeah. But like you said, puppy syndrome. And then it's like, you think you can change somebody. But sometimes a person maybe isn't too far gone, but maybe they're just set in their ways. And no matter what, your intentions might be very good. It's hard to change somebody once they're, especially in addiction, you know, once they're addicted to something or set in their ways, change can be tough. Even though your mom or whoever is trying to help these people, it's like sometimes they don't want the help, you know?
Yeah. And the breakthrough and the blessing happened was, I'm sure you can relate to this.
Yeah.
Well, my mom finally decided to throw in the towel and file for divorce.
Yeah.
And that became the beginning of something new, where no longer in the house, less chaos, but the damage is already done significantly. While at the same time, while all this stuff was going on over the years, my dad was also involved with drugs and alcohol.
Really?
But he was functional with working. But again, he wasn't taking care of his mental health.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a no-win situation. One time I called him out and he didn't want the help.
You called him out like you wanted to help him? Like get him
out?
No,
no. I remember one time I asked him as a child, like, when you go get with the alcohol? I don't remember his response, but based on his body language, she wasn't going to give it up.
Yeah, you tried.
What more? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what more can you do as a kid? You know what I mean? Yeah, for sure. So, Coatesville, I mean, that you definitely had a rough upbringing, you would say.
Yeah, it's because, you know, it goes back to choices when you bring children into this world and you're not taking care of yourself, own mental health first.
Yeah.
You pretty much pass on things to certain people. Like, for example, you pass on, if you're feeling a certain way, my best example is this. Like, you know, I see a lot of people go to church on a Sunday or a Saturday, but what I really see sometimes, and it's based on me growing up, I see people looking to impress somebody with their clothing, be there for religious reasons, but I realize the real work starts at home, away from the pulpit, away from the hearing somebody speak the word. But we can listen to all the word we want. We can dress up as nice as we want, but we're not taking care of ourselves on the inside or out. We're not leaving the church better than how we arrived.
That's a great point. It's about your actions, really. You know, you can talk is cheap, right? But it's your actions that prove, you know, that you're serious about something, I think.
Yeah, it's just in order to grow past certain things that takes humility and stepping outside your comfort zone.
100%. 100%. Now, I don't want to fast forward too much. So, you know, you correct me if I'm wrong, but like, what point does, and maybe we're skipping stuff, I can edit this out, but like, at what point does March 19th, 2011 happen? And can you walk us through that?
Long story short, let's see. Okay, what I'm about to talk about is something. It's like a situation where you've been at a party,
yeah,
somebody's celebration, a high school graduation, a college graduation, and you remember everything. For me, what I'm about to talk about is like, I was there when it happened, but I don't remember. And, you know, as I was writing this book, soft cover, ebook, audio,
yeah,
you name it, It took some soul searching of looking at the actual television clip of everything, looking at the newspaper article, then looking on my Facebook wall where people saying they're praying for me.
Yeah.
And that just really touched there. So here's what happened. Basically, I met this guy, Jordan Steffi, and we hit it off at church right away. At the time, it was Saturday night service for In the Light Ministry. Different, you know, pastor and his first lady at the, between now and then.
Okay, and real quick, how old were you? Or what?
Early 20s.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. Sounds good. Yep.
And what happened was, you know, it's like somebody sees something in you that you didn't see in yourself. It's like how your coaches want to push you more because they know there's more room to grow. Or we could also look at the movie Fireproof, where he took his best player, put somebody on their back for the bear crawl.
Yes. Yeah.
He originally told him, I want you to bear crawl with that your teammate on your back from the goal line up to the 50-yard line, but I want you to do it blindfolded.
Yeah. Keep going, yeah.
Yeah, he kept going and going, and that coach kept pushing him to the point where the player broke down and cried, and the coach told him to take off your blindfold, and he told him you're in the end zone.
Yeah.
And that's how, you know, life is sometimes. Basically, in this situation, Jordan Steffi saw something in me that my own parents didn't see in me. And he showed me different things like businesses, entrepreneurship, took me on college visits to different places. It had nothing to do with, you know, even though I used to be a student athlete, but that's a whole other situation that I talk about in the book.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just, you know, this guy was really invested in me, convinced his girlfriend, now wife, Keandra, his family. And, you know, he wanted me to be down for everything. And the plan was originally, you know, hey, let's get your license. Let's find this job. And you could start at Hack.
Yeah.
And, you know, the day, yeah, I remember the day like it was yesterday, I am at Mia Heights Golf Tournament. And, you know, we were selling Deuce brand watches. We exceeded the goal of amount sold. It was very, you know, significant. It was two shifts, one for morning, like the breakfast, one for afternoon. It was a big round of applause. Everyone's happy.
Yeah.
I leave out with my uncle and my aunt's fiance at the time. Then we went to go pick up my cousins. And then next you know, we're on Route 30. We're passing the Olive Garden. Then there's, you know, that Hess gas station. And then, boo! I wake up twice. Before I get to the wake up twice moment,
yeah.
The car hit an 18-wheeler head-on.
Head-on.
In a different lane. People were calling the cops. Fire department, ambulance, traffic was backed up 3 miles each way. Then the ambulance had to check my pulse, see if I was still alive. Then the fire department cut the car in half. With the jaws of life.
Yeah.
And then they put a neck brace on me. And then they took me out of the car, put me on a stretcher, put me in an ambulance. Here we are in Paris, Pennsylvania. Nearest hospital is 25 minutes away.
Yeah.
Lancaster General. You know, the hospital gets the call about the surgery. They end up calling the guy, Dr. Wotola, to do this emergency surgery. So we had to stop everything he was doing. Then eventually word spread around about my situation. And somebody called my dad, who ended up calling my mom. And next thing you know, they stopped what they're doing for their life, what they have going on, coming to the hospital. Well, several people already made it to the hospital before they did. And then the emergency surgery was high risk. It was a mathematical equation of 99% chance of death versus 1% chance of life. So that 99% chance was higher than someone dropping out of college, going through a divorce, an overdose, winning the lottery, graduating from college, having a successful business within 5 years. But that 1% it's small, but it's the faith of a mustard seed. And, you know, God, you know, created, you know, mathematics, the numerator and denominator in the situation, you know, that 1% defeated the 99%. Now that 1% became 100%.
Dude, I mean, you're lucky to be here, is what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Like, the odds were stacked against you. So the accident, you said you woke up twice?
Yes.
How did that work? Like, explain that.
The first time was on cloud nine through all that medicine.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know, originally the woman thought I died on an operating table, but they decided to sedate me. Then I woke up sometime later. And then I ended up waking up the second time with less medicines, and that's when I was declared a walking living miracle in the IC unit, and that woman was crying tears of joy.
Wow. Did everyone walk away? Or because I don't
Unfortunately,
know.
Not everyone was able to walk away. My aunt suffered some broken bones. First younger cousin, you know, he ain't suffered no broken bones, but it's more of a mental thing. Then, unfortunately, my little cousin died on impact.
I'm sorry to hear that, man.
Holy and cow. Then the driver, yeah, he died on impact head on.
Did they say, so the driver, the 18-wheeler, did they say whatever happened? Did he fall asleep?
Yeah, I know what happened. Unfortunately, he was under certain prescription medicines, and, you know, you got to be careful about that because he ended up becoming drowsy and impacted a lot of people's lives.
Man, let's take a quick sip break. You know, how do you recover? Like, how do you move on from this? I mean, that, like you said, it shook your whole family up.
Well, it was a journey of rehab, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy. Like, for you, you could pick up a bag of groceries with ease. I was struggling to pick up a beanbag because I had suffered multiple injuries, a left black eye, torn aorta, a concussion, maybe a pinched nerve, then losing over 60 pounds of weight.
Holy cow.
And remember the IVs being in both my veins, and then I ended up getting put on a feeding tube for several months. Yeah, he considered putting me on blood thinners if I didn't start walking. I don't want that. It was a journey. And then I also talk about some other things where in the book where I learned this quote, it gets worse before it gets better. And there's two individuals in particular that weren't very helpful in the journey. It's like people would show up to the hospital, to rehab, on their best behavior, but they were doing some things they weren't supposed to be doing. And, you know, making my life worse when I became fully aware of everything. It's like, wow, I can't believe you would do this. You mean to tell me you made time to do that, but not make time to have a plan for me? The two people were my own parents, making my life worse. I don't understand how two people could do that when God prevented the, say, spared you from survivor's remorse of bearing a child, a burial, funeral, creating my obituary, grieving, then you gotta call work. I don't understand how two individuals could just do something, you know, I talk about in the book, you know, and it's just, it baffles me with a capital B, mm-hmm. as it did with other people. And I talk about it in the book, you know, my dad wasn't happy about what I said in the book, but it's the truth. You know, hey, you did deny me as a child, and you weren't helpful with helping me get my life back together. And my mom, well, just wasn't making healthy decisions all over again. Right. And it does involve choosing another man over me.
Man, Ethan, that's wild. I mean, because you think the people that raised you now, you know, you shared with us the background of, you know, your early childhood, but like your mom and dad, they're supposed to be like your rock and be there for you no matter what. And like you're saying, in your moment of need, they weren't always there for you.
No, it goes back to, let's say you made a mess in a relationship. Instead of sweeping things under the rug and walk away, when you come back, it's still there. But when you sweep it up and put it inside a dustpan and put it in the trash can, which is meant to be put out for trash day, now a relationship has a cleaner start to move forward. As it relates to relationship, you know, there's certain things that need to be talked about. There's certain apologies that need to be made. But when some people want to live in denial, don't want to take ownership, you create a great wall of China. It's like you can live with somebody, but you're still growing apart. And part of the reason is, like, some of the things they didn't do right in their relationship with each other, they end up not doing right with me.
Yeah.
And there's a lack of intimacy, lack of accountability, lack of a lot of things. And that's what creates the disadvantage. And when you create that type of stuff, it's going to come into the relationship when I become an adult.
It carries over, yeah.
It's not a situation where, oh, it happened this time. Oh, so you do remember. So you do remember the time period when it happened. So instead, you want to do the same thing your parents may have done to you. Now you're doing it to me. But now the problem gets even worse because I have a platform, and you might not like what I say. You might disagree with what I said, but the reality is this: you had from when I was a toddler, a child, teenager, and in my early 20s to talk to me.
Yeah.
My other siblings. But I'm going to talk, and I am a member of protected class. I have freedom of speech. And on top of that, there's not much you can do to stop me. When you have problems in your relationships, you should treat it like cancer. Let's take care of it right away. But if you don't, it's going to spread. And then you pass it on to your kids. Now they got to decide what they want to do.
Mm-hmm. 100%. It affects everyone. Like you just said, it's like a cancer. And, you know, if the mom and dad are, you know, aren't getting along, or the family unit, it does. It affects everybody, 100%.
And ultimately, unfortunately, you know, I got some siblings where they decide not to make healthy decisions. They decided to repeat the cycle.
Oh, no, that's the worst. Yeah, then they get sucked in. Like you said, they get stuck in the cycle.
And
yeah.
For me, I decided to go against the grain, and because I didn't want that for myself anymore. I already seen it.
Amen to that. What was the journey like after, you know, that accident took place? You went through rehab, obviously successful. I mean, if I didn't read your bio that you sent me, and I just met you out in the street or at a mall or something, I'd never know that, like, you went through such a serious accident and like your upbringing and stuff. So, like, what was the next steps like?
A lot of things. I'll tell you a quick story. Basically, it took at least a year to recover, like, physically, mentally, and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
What was happening was, in the midst of all this other stuff going on, and I do talk about in the book, there was a time period where I did testify against my mom in court. Yeah.
Okay. Do you mind sharing, or?
Well, I'm just doing it as a life's coming attraction. But yeah, I testify against her, and you know, I have a legal right to defend myself against certain things. And what ended up happening was, you know, I got a call from my stepmom. She said she wanted to meet me for lunch. She brought my younger brother. We're at Perkins Restaurant on Route 30. We're eating. I feel like, you know, oh, it's a good time and everything. The next thing you know, she dropped a bomb on me. She told me, my dad's not going to help me get my life back together. Boom. I lost my appetite. My brother didn't know because nobody told him. He found him not just like I'm finding now. And I'm like, all right, I'm ready to go. So I get dropped off at Manhattan Township High School for that championship game. And then next thing you know, I turn that discouragement into encouragement. I get my driver's license. My first car was a 95 Ford Taurus. Then I had my cousins get their driver's license. That car had its days, and it's time to upgrade. This one woman, she ended up helping me get a. She ended up giving me a ride all the way to York Apple Honda.
Okay.
She said, "What type of car you got?" I said, "I'm not sure yet." As we're going up, and then me and this dealer test drive a car. I told him I want that one. And it was right out the showroom. It was a red Honda 2016 four-door sedan. And then she comes out and says, Ethan, what type of car are you going to get? I said, I'm getting that car. She's like, no way. I said, yes way. Here's the keys. And he's working on the paperwork. A pause happens. She reaches in her pocket for her cell phone and starts taking pictures of me. And then put me on a good blast to all her friends and colleagues.
Yeah.
I didn't post it on social media. I just didn't want all that attention. But looking back now, I should have. And then what ended up happening was I had a nice time in that car. You know, all my siblings that live with me through my mom, the only person that got their driver's license in a car. And then I drive out to Coatesville, take a ride around there. I get my picture taken in front of the Welcome to Coatesville sign. That as I'm walking back to my car, there's my dad at the red light.
Really? Okay.
I heard someone try to speak to me, and I look at him. He looks at me. I go into my car and whoa, he can't take any credit, can't say I was helping him or any of that. He didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
The moral of the story is don't allow someone to discourage you because you got to put them in a position where they're going to eat their own words. You remember when you told me you weren't going to help me get my driver's license? You remember?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Now you can remember me getting this new car without you.
There you go.
And much more. And the funny part about it was just, I didn't tell him initially. People told him.
Okay. Yeah.
And then when he saw it for himself, it was just a life's coming attraction of like, whoa, he did this without me.
That says a lot. And shout out to York Apple Honda.
Yes.
Right? Shout out to you guys. And if you want, send a check in the mail to American Grown Podcast for your shout out, for your sponsor. You're literally pulling yourself up from your bootstraps. I know it's cliche, but everyone's like says that, but that's literally what you had to do. Like, gosh, and then you have the accident, which most people would not have recovered from that. But so now, like, you graduate from Millersville. Tell me a little bit about that. Like, what was college life like? Did you end up going to Hack? Because you were going to go to Hack.
Well, once I got my life back together, I was able to go to Hack. I remember the days of, you know, before I got my car and everything, it was I had my college ID. All I had to do was show the bus driver my ID. Got a ride from Lancaster City out to Old Philadelphia Pike to the Lancaster campus of Hack. Did that for a good while. And one time I got a car, then that was like the 95 Ford Taurus and eventually upgraded to the 16. And I had my permit pass. And I remember the day like it was yesterday, you know, the college life. You know, two buildings, everything was so intimate with the professors and everybody else. Things were flexible. It was, you know, looking back, you know, I remember the day like it was yesterday. Let's see, November. No, I think it was October or September 2017. I met my advisor. She printed out my degree audit and she smiled ear to ear saying, not only do you have more than enough credits transfer, you have more than enough credits to apply for graduation. And I was like, oh wow, I thought I was gonna be here for another semester.
Yeah.
And she said the choices up to me, and eventually I said, let's apply for graduation. She made some phone calls, made it happen. Then after the college semester ended, I ended up working in a warehouse out in Ephrata for a little bit just to keep myself busy and earn some money. And then eventually, as soon as that shift ended that one time, I clocked out, got in my car, drove from Ephrata all the way to Hershey, the Giant Center.
Yeah.
And I made it at the center like 20 to 25 minutes before it started. Once I came in with my cap, gown, and tassel, it was, saw people that I knew. Jordan was there. George Veronis was there and other people. And I heard my name called and everything. It was just a wonderful time period. The first to graduate from college out of all the men in the generation of my family and all of all my siblings, I was the first. And then I got accepted into Mills University, you know, applied. That was my first choice. It's just all I had to do was just show up to campus, pay for a parking permit pass. Luckily, I still qualified for FIAT and Pell Grant. And it was just, you know, more buildings, not as intimate, but it was more challenges of just adjusting with other people's schedules. And other than past college going through COVID-19.
Yeah, that was a crazy time for sure. So how does it feel being the first male in your family to, you know, to graduate? Because right here you have Millersville University. I mean, how does that feel?
It feels great. Felt proud. Yeah. A little backstory. I met this guy. His name's Kenny Myers of Kegel's Produce. He's the COO. And I officially had graduated from Millersville University December 2020, but they weren't going to have the ceremony.
Yeah.
So I ended up having my private, gathering. It was a good turnout. I got my name called, had the graduation music on as I walked slowly. Then once the music died down, I gave my speech. Thanked who needed to be thanked, cut the cake, whatever. Time to take pictures, made a toast with apple cider vinegar.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah. Now, if someone had apple, if someone would have had acid reflux, then we'll have to do what? You'll have to do water.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was a good time and everything. And then in the spring, later on, he wanted me to come to his office. He was just proud of me and everything. Kenny Myers. And then he made a call to the television people. And the same day I graduated, the same day I got interviewed. And they did the B-roll at the college ceremony. Then when I went to work the next day, they did some B-roll there. And then I finally got featured and took off from there.
At what point then did the book, like, when did you write the book then? Because, you know, you graduate from Millersville. Was the book after or did you write it before?
It was before. It was spring semester of 2020 in the midst of COVID. Thankfully, I passed that math class and another class.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of math either. No.
Yeah. And then I got invited to Verona's family's home and they encouraged me to write. I wasn't sure. And the next thing you know, the saying is keto man's heart to his stomach. They kept feeding me.
Yeah.
Lobster, crab legs, scallops. I had some champagne. It's hard to say no after that.
Yeah, it is. For sure.
So I got started writing this. You know, the publisher started contacting me saying, hey, if you sign with us, we'll turn your story into a movie with a music soundtrack. I had to take a deep pause and be thankful that they weren't feeding me.
Yeah.
Thankfully, it was just a conversation over the phone and emails. I turned it down because I didn't want someone profiting off the most off of me. I didn't see you come visit me at the hospital.
Yeah.
The rehab. See me on the feeding tube. You know, you weren't even there when I was going through all this other stuff that made the story what it is the story.
Mm-hmm.
If you're coming to me with a movie deal or a music deal, coming to me with a distribution deal, that's in my favor. Because I value my purpose, my life, and my time, and my resources. And, you know, eventually I'm going to make my own documentary, my own movie. And take on a lot of the lead roles in production and post-production and marketing, promoting. And play myself and add some, you know, supporting cast members.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, when I was doing the book, I decided to just go all out. Just, you know, if you look at it now, you got 8 forewords, 2 back cover reviews. You know, I'll name some people. There's Ivan C. Booker III. He's my first cousin. Then there's Dr. Catherine Garcia. She's a college professor at Syracuse University. She's my cousin. We matched on ancestry. Then at Mills University, there's Dr. Stacy Irwin and Dr. Teresa Russell Loretz. And then there's Jen Janetsky. She lives in Michigan, graduated from Michigan. She, me and her matched on ancestry as cousins. Then there's, of course, Coach Matt Ortega, also known as Coach O, of Coastal Area Senior High School, all-time winningest football coach.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He was probably, he helped me my transition from that move from Lancaster, no, to Lancaster from Coatesville. And he was a defensive coordinator at the time. Then, of course, there's Alyssa. She's a graduate of Penn Manor High School and Penn State. And then this other one, woman is Dr. Christina W. And as we go to the back of reviews,
yeah,
There's Dante McLeod, alumni of Middleton University and Roman Catholic High School of Philadelphia, PA. And then last but not least, this guy's been more than around the block with sports announcing, high school, football, basketball, some baseball, and some track events. His name is Dave Berman, alumni of Strathaven High School and York College of York, PA.
Wow, shout out to everybody. I mean, that's amazing. Wow. And it gives credit to your, you know, to what you have here. Wow. That's amazing. I'm going to take a sip break if that's all right.
That works.
Yeah. Mm. I just have a couple more more questions, Ethan, but like you're nailing it. I mean, it's up to you how more in-depth you want to go, but to pick up, has there been any mentors in your life that have really impacted you?
Yes, Bob Paul, who's an alumni of Middleton University. He works at the Wharton School of Philadelphia. Introduced me to his wife. We had dinner. We took a graduation picture together.
Yeah.
He supported my book and everything. You know, I usually meet him in Philly, and it's been a wonderful time. Then there's Jordan Steffi and his family and a nonprofit organization called Italo Prep. It used to be called Children Deserve a Chance Foundation.
Okay.
And there's also Earl Papa Booze. There's Mr. Clyde E. Brown II. Then there's my football coaches, such as Coach Matt Ortega, Coach T, also known as Coach Troy Richardson, and there's Coach Damian Henry, Coach Aleem Kamara, Coach Pete Susie, of course, former head football coach Scott Feldman. I saw him like maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And then there's Coach Stoffer, Coach, and also Dr. Todd Mealy. And then, of course, Coach Jill Cypress, Coach Mr. Feaster. And yeah, I'll stop right there.
Yeah, that's perfect, you know, and you know, there's so many mentors in people's lives. I feel like it is hard to name them all for sure, but I feel like you covered a great amount there. The items you brought with you, let's cover some of them, because there is so many awesome things you have here. Wherever you want to start, and there will be photos up on American Grown Podcast, Facebook, and Instagram for all the listeners.
Let's see, Millsville University degree is a Bachelor of Science in Speech Communication. My name is Ethan A., or I shall say Ethan Alexander Poetic. Then there's me being featured in the JP. This is the McCaskey Alumni Vivette for my book and my inspirational story. Then I got featured in the Millsville University Snapper for my book signing day and all the other stuff.
Okay.
Then I got featured on the front page of the newspaper, Lancaster newspaper. It was April 1st, 2021. And I thought when I got featured on there, got people sending me all types of comments on social media and everything, I thought I was going to need a police escort to work.
That's awesome, man.
I was joking, but I was being serious.
Yeah.
Then, in 2023, I got featured on the front page of the Southeast Times newspaper. And I got a letter from the governor. Yeah. March 26, 2023, he says, "Dear Ethan, Pennsylvania thrives because of leaders like you who persevere in the face of adversity. Your passion, grit, and determination has left an immeasurable impact that has reached numerous individuals. I applaud you for the amazing work you have done and for the amazing work I know you will continue to do. Best of luck with your continued success in the future. All the best. Governor Josh Shapiro."
Wow. Not a lot of people say they can have something like that. What do you have here?
I got a special letter of recognition from the city of Coatesville, city council members, and the city manager. Long story short, you know, in the midst of COVID, I think it was 2021 at a, it was at a Coatesville Area Senior High School football golf outing to raise money.
Yeah.
And there's this married couple They're usually involved with CKR, also known as Coastal Kid Raiders. They said, I'm going to be speaking at one of these schools one of these days, have my story, and, you know, time passes. Here we are, 2024, and I originally contacted Mateo, 6 ABC Action News, on Facebook, and things just went up from there. He told me, I want to do this. Choose any school you want in Coatesville, since I'm a native of Coatesville. I contacted the teacher. Well, first I contacted her husband, who gave my number to her, the teacher, who's his wife. We talked. She talked to the principal. Her name is Dr. Bridget Miles, an educator for 30 years. And she talked to the principal, who came back as... the principal is Dr. Bridget Miles, who talked to the superintendent, who used to be an educator in the Coatesville Area School District. She said yes, and I'm talking to Dr. Bridget Miles on the phone. We do a run through, and then it's on. We have a confirmed date. And here's the funny part.
Yeah.
How everything happens in full circle. We did the enactment. I got invited to the enactment in Coatesville. It was the day of Martin Luther King Day. Mind you, it was cold and a whole lot of other things going on. Catching up with a lot of people I haven't seen in a while. People buying my books, taking pictures, and doing little autographs and everything. Mind you, I already did the interview a month ahead of time. And then, you know, everything's good. We're in the church. Everything was good. And then the next day is when I get featured on 6 ABC Action News. And my phone was on fire. My social media was on fire.
Yeah.
It was a win on all cylinders. I thanked who needed to be thanked. From the teacher to the superintendent and the principal. I even stayed after a school board meeting at Coastal Area Senior High School to thank the superintendent in person. That way, in case it's time for me to get featured on CNN, Fox 43, or you name it.
Never know.
She'll be more inclined to say yes, and then I can choose a school again. You know, it was a win for the city, the Coastal Area communities, because the multiple municipalities such as South Coatesville, East Fallsville, West Fallsville, South Brandywine, North Brandywine, then there's also Callan, Thorndale, and many others. Then there's also one for the students. They can see my story and use it as inspiration.
Oh, for sure.
One for the parents, because all they have to do is change their foundation. And other surrounding school districts. And, you know, some people did contact me on social media, and they did buy my books, and they trusted me with their P.O. boxes and mailing addresses. When I spoke in that school, Kings Highway Elementary School, I was given the green light to speak as long as I want to the third graders. The funny part about one of the students was the last time I saw her, and she was a newborn baby. And then here I'm seeing her. And then next thing you know, like I said, people contacted me on social media. Her grandfather, who's my uncle, said, "That's your cousin." I'm like, "What? I hadn't seen her in so long." And then, you know, I start sharing that same clip, that interview clip, with people who, you know, are not able to look at 6 ABC Action News or not technology savvy.
Yeah.
How I watched it on 6 ABC Action News, I had my laptop up, and I was on the 6 ABC Action News live feed.
Okay.
Everyone in Coatesville saw it in real time. I would have been in Coatesville that same evening, but I didn't want to take a risk on getting snowed in. Moved on, but I still think that the principal and everyone to this day, because it was a collective effort, even though it was starring me.
Yeah.
I had to make sure I thanked all the people in the background. We took some wonderful pictures. That's what led to me receiving the special letter of recognition, because I left my mark in the city, the community, the school district, and it's hard for the city council and the city managers to say, how can we not recognize a guy who's a native of Coatesville when he is involved?
There you go.
Hands on.
Yeah. Yeah,
and on top of that, it made them look good, because now we bring positivity to the city council, the school district.
Everybody wins. Yeah.
Yes, and on top of that, the officials who represent Coatesville, one of them is my uncle, Dr. Dan Williams. So that's bringing more positivity. Saying that's my nephew.
Right, it's a proud moment for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, moving on and moving forward. Now I already soaked that moment in. I got featured in this magazine called The Voyage Phoenix out on the West Coast. It was, you know, very good to be interviewed by them in a different time zone and timeline.
Yeah.
And then my state representative, Ishmael Smith-Waddell, helped me get the award of excellence at the Pennsylvania State Capitol Complex in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. The Speaker of the House is Joanna E. McClinton. On October 16th, 2023, I was the first person in my family ever to be recognized there on both sides. And it had nothing to do with academics or athletics. And it was just a joyful moment. You know, I'd like to thank Coach Cy Emery, also known as Emery. He used to be the educator and coach at Carlisle School District and the varsity boys or girls basketball coach. And of course, Alyssa S. She accompanied me there. It was a wonderful time period. When everything was all and over, you know, we did have lunch. It was a good time. I made sure I walked her back to her car safe and sound because I know her parents. Her parents know me. And got to make sure she's protected, that she, you know, just being a gentleman, make sure she got safe and sound back to her car inside the parking garage.
That's awesome. Chivalry, right? You know, yes. You know, and being a gentleman, that's, I feel like more people should do that. And it's great that you did that, for sure. Yeah.
Yes. And then the most recent award is
talk
this
about that.
One.
Yeah.
Oh, it shines brighter than a diamond.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
2024 Distinguished Alumni Award presented to Ethan A. Poetic, Harrisburg Area Community College, Central Pennsylvania Community College, founded in 1964.
There you go. Wow.
This is my first Distinguished Alumni Award ever. I remember, like, it was yesterday. I was in Philly. I met with my mentor. Talked to my brother. Then I did some business down there in Philly. As I'm doing business, I got this email from Hack. They tell me, do you want to accept this award? Do you want to be at the ceremony at the Giant Center? I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
It's time for me to come back. So I got recognized there. My cousin and her friend was there to, you know, watch everything. It was a joyous moment to see people, you know, graduate. And it was just great to be back where it all started, where I moved my tassel from this side to that side. Yeah. And then there's also just, you know, afterwards, I did get treated to dinner at this one place. It's a I forgot how to say it. Yeah, I ordered my wings and fries. I kept it simple.
Yeah.
I didn't want to have no alcohol. I had to make it home back safe and sound. We took our pictures and everything. Yeah, it was a great moment. And I shared it with certain people who, in person, because some people were not technology savvy. Some people only got emails. Those who did have emails, I made a speech with this award. I sent it out to people and shared it, social media, email blasts.
Yeah.
You name it. And some people, I just took a picture of this and sent them a text of this. Yeah, this is my baby before I have a baby of my own.
For sure, man. That's awesome.
So hopefully I get the Distinguished Alumni from J.P. McCaskey High School, Millersburg University.
Collect them all, right?
Yeah, that'd be the three-peat. Yeah. But I am getting another award coming up this fall. Person told me don't say nothing until it becomes a flyer printed out in the programming, and then I can start promoting it, and then I can hopefully invite certain people to that award. It's an organization that's well over 100 years old.
Wow.
And yeah, I look forward to that. I'm going to wear my suit again, make sure I get my cut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to look fresh. You got to look good.
Oh, 100%. That's a must. Hopefully I can bring a woman to accompany me.
There you go. You never know.
Yeah, but this time, I don't want nobody standing me up. I don't want nobody with the last-minute excuses. If you need a babysitter, all right. I know a billion babysitters. Yeah, that's a whole nother journey. I'm talking about in the book about being stood up, about other things. But moving forward, again, turning my adversities into my advantage by doing all you can and realizing life is what you make of it.
Very well spoken, exactly, 100%. Now, how can our listeners connect with you and follow along on your journey?
Let's see, when it comes to my, I just want to say this, as I say this all the time, I value my services, my products, my purpose, and my life. My website for serious inquiries to buy my books off me directly, the hardcover, softcover, a signed autograph. You just got to pay me through PayPal, Cash App, Venmo, or Zelle for a hardcover or softcover. Just got to trust me with your P.O. box and mailing address. I'll take a screenshot of the tracking number and that book will be delivered faster to you than you would buy it on Amazon, because it's not going to be autographed. You buy it online. But what you can buy online is the audio or ebook, in case you want to hear my voice read it.
Oh, that's awesome. I love audiobooks. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I love audiobooks. So, yeah, what is the website where they can get it? I'm sorry.
Through me directly is ethanspeaks.com. Then my social media handles are the following. On Instagram, TikTok, and Snapchat, I am Ethan Poetic 23, ethanpoetic 23. Then on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and of course YouTube, I am Ethan Poetic.
Before we close out, is there any last minute advice you want to leave with the listeners? Any information you want to share with them?
Yeah, mental health is your wealth. Don't invest more than you can afford to lose. I understand mistakes are learned from, but learn the mistakes by reading about them, not by doing them. Because you don't want to turn that into a lesson learned. You rather learn from the people who've done them before you. Always continue to grow and understand there's more to life than what you're living right now. Understand I turned my near fatal car accident with the help of God and other people from a red flag to a green flag. And I'll tell you a quick story. I did get an MRI on my brain. The doctor at the time was just like, whoa.
Yeah.
He opened up the door, called his staff to come into the room. He told him what I looked like. Here's Ethan. Showed him the MRI results. And then the clip from the newspaper I saw on Linkster Online. And he said he doesn't even suffer from
PTSD?
Yes.
Really?
None.
None. Wow.
So
how did they explain that? Or they couldn't?
They couldn't. It's just, you know, I understand people who do suffer from that. It's people serving in law enforcement, fire department, ambulance, military, and other things. Yeah, I don't suffer from that from all. It's just I'm not on any pills, no medicines.
Oh, that's great, dude. Holy cow.
And
Yeah.
I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you from firsthand experience. If I would suffer from that, I would be telling you about the journey of I saw it for myself. Instead, it's more a reflection of I had to research everything to find out the truth. Yeah, again, I do not have PTSD at all. Post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah.
Not one bit. I can't explain it besides I'm not, I don't have a symptom of it. I understand some people have symptoms of, you know, that stuff when they go through a car accident. Especially when it's near death. Some people get addicted to, you know, the opioids. But I don't have any of that stuff.
I'm glad. Like, yeah, because you can get addicted and that takes you down a whole nother road you don't want to go down. But, I mean, Ethan, it's great meeting you. You've dropped a lot of knowledge. Excuse me, a lot of facts. I think a lot of people that will listen to this episode can learn from your experience. You know, you literally took a rough upbringing and you made it something positive. And I look forward to following your journey on social media as well. So if you're good, I'll wrap it up.
Yes. Thank you very much. I appreciate this opportunity.
Ethan Poetic, keynote speaker, author, mental health advocate, and entrepreneur on the American Grown Podcast and the Color Tech Creative Solution Studios. Thank you for joining me.
You're welcome.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch coffee roastery and coffee shop. Veteran and first responder owned, community oriented, and roasted fresh to order. Now open inside 911 Rapid Response, Anvil, PA. Go to CleonaCoffeeRoasters.com to order online, see updated hours, and find where you can buy it close to you.
Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran owned apparel company. by purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds.